Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Squarespace is not only the best place to build your website, but to discover new domains too. Something like topfootballcamp.com for your top football camp, whisperingbloom.com for your silent retreat, or whisperingboom.com for your shouting retreat. Maybe velvetchords.com for your music studio, or existentialglitter.com for your artist studio. With a website from Squarespace, you can build your brand and your business all at squarespace.com. Get your domain before they're gone with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your domain or website.
We go to the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline for the chief bottle washer at Pro Football Talk. He's Mr. Mike Florio. Hello, Michael.
How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Don't worry, well.
I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening.
Good.
To your inane rambling. I'm trying to finish a post here. I'm crafting a post that was inspired by last year's story that we wrote during the second night of the draft, which ended up being one of our most read posts of all time in the 24-plus year history of PFT. As Shedeur Sanders was sliding down the draft board, we raised the idea of him at some point saying, I'm just going back to college. And that's relevant because I think at some point one of these guys will do that. When you look at Ty Simpson saying he could have made $6.5 million staying in college for another year, at some point you just have to say, wait a minute, screw this. I'm out. I'm going to go back. Now, good luck getting $6.5 million back on the table. Good luck finding a starting job. But I'd like to think that somebody would turn to their starter and say, sorry, man, we're getting Ty Simpson, and that'll be that. But I just think it's a matter of time before one of these players who has remaining eligibility, before he's drafted or after he's drafted and before he signs a contract, says, I'm going to make one more year of NIL money because it's a hell of a lot more than I'm going to make under this contract that is available to me through the NFL.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. I've always wondered why that hasn't happened even already. Because, A, you'll make more money, and, B, you'll probably be able to make more money when you do come out because you've had another year of experience at the college game and refined yourself a little bit.
Here's one of the reasons why I don't think it's happened. A year ago, the path wasn't as clear as it is now because the rules are going to say you can't do it and you're going to have to fight the rules. But look at how many of these NCAA rules have proven under legal pressure to be antitrust violations. And since last year, the NCAA gave 4 years of eligibility to a basketball player named James Naughty, who went to Baylor. He had been an NBA first-round pick of the Pistons in 2023. He just never signed a contract. And they gave him the eligibility without him doing anything. I think one strongly worded letter from lawyer Jeffrey Kessler, who has been thorn in the side for the NCAA in recent years, that's enough to get the NCAA to say, yeah, Ty Simpson can go wherever he wants to go. And I think the key would be if he's not taken in round one, you got 18 hours until round two, that would be the time to mobilize. See what's out there, get some sort of a commitment from the NCAA and say, I'm out. See you later. Don't draft me. I'm not coming.
I've always wondered about that too, Mike. It's such a fascinating thing. Another fascinating thing that's taking place is the amount of rumors that are all over the place when it comes to the NFL draft, and especially with the Browns when it's coming to trade down. Are you hearing anything on that front of the Cleveland Browns being open for business with six?
Well, usually what happens is teams, especially teams that have needs, they should be always looking to trade down because fundamentally the draft picks are lottery tickets, and you don't know who's going to work out, you don't know who's not going to work out. And when you're looking to make a team better across the board, the more lottery tickets you can compile, the better off you're going to be. Now, you still have to draft the right players, and then you have to develop them. Usually, it's hard to find teams that want to move up. That's the truth with any trade. You've got to have two teams that are willing to do business. It's how the Giants found a willing partner in Cincinnati to take on a player that didn't want to be in New York anymore, and it all worked out. So there's always teams looking to trade down. It's hard to find that team that's willing to give up assets to trade up and get the guy they want. And there's this loose sense, and maybe it's just because there's nothing really all that exciting about this year's draft, frankly, especially without a Shedeur Sanders in there who's going to do a 4.5-round slip and slide. But I really do think that the opportunity to trade down, I know, the opportunity to trade down ties directly to whether or not there's somebody out there that wants to trade up.
In this draft, and I'm usually all for trading down as well, but we hear there are 5 or 6 guys at the top of the draft who are big-time talents, at least according to all the evaluators, and then a bunch of guys who are in a similar situation. If you're the Browns and you need a ton of talent, are you better off going for an elite guy in the top 6, standing pat, Mike, or just adding 2 or 3 guys and maybe setting yourself up for next year even more?
Well, so much of it depends on what they truly think about next year's class based upon the information they currently have. And just think about Fernando Mendoza. A year ago, nobody knew Fernando Mendoza was going to become Fernando Mendoza. Same thing happened with Joe Burrow. Going into the 2019 draft, nobody knew Joe Burrow was going to be a top prospect in 2020. Everybody thought it was going to be Tua Tagovailoa. So there's a lot of unknowns there that can't really be quantified on the way in. And then everything you do try to quantify in advance of any draft, we find out how imperfect it is. That's one of the things that is irritating as somebody who follows the drip of this. We see and hear the draft experts try to turn everything into a known absolute value here and this guy here. And then we throw them all into the blender and we find out later who can play and who can't. There's so many factors that go into it. So, you know, it all comes down to, and people still use that chart that Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys developed years ago, although I think the rookie wage scale probably changes it to a certain extent. But it's all about finding the right team that's willing to do the deal that is necessary to get both teams to say, okay, we're going to do it. And we see bad deals get made. We see good deals get made. But what really is a good deal or a bad deal until we see what happens with the player? I'll give you an example. Last year when the Falcons gave up this year's first-round pick to get James Pierce Jr., they thought it was a great deal. In their mind, we're just using our 2026 first-round pick a year early, and this is the guy, and we get a year out of him before the 2026 draft comes. Well, he played well, but then we have the off-field issue that is going to have a lot of people saying, my God, the Falcons really blew that, and they lost their first-round pick this year on a guy who may never play for him again.
Mike Florio joining us. Pro Football Talk is where you can read him on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. Mike, are you hearing anything new on the Myles Garrett trade front at all from anybody around the league?
And the Browns continue to say that they're not going to do it. That revision to his contract that pushes the deadline for the option bonus all the way until a week before the start of the regular season provides maximum flexibility to help the Browns avoid paying that huge amount of money before he would eventually be traded. And they have that flexibility now every year for the remainder of his contract. So it may just be something that's there, not necessarily for this year. Maybe it's there for next year. Maybe it's there for the year after. I just can't imagine a guy who came out publicly in February of 2025 and said, I want out. And of course, the Browns did what they always do when they have a problem. They threw money at it and it worked. You know, it may not always work. And the Dexter Lawrence situation, I think, underscores the power that players have. Dexter Lawrence wanted out. And in 2 weeks, he got out. And now, look, last year, the Browns gave him more money, and Myles Garrett had the best year of his career. But I think the problem in New York was Dexter Lawrence got sufficiently disillusioned, it began to affect his performance. So they had to ask themselves, do we want to keep a guy who doesn't want to be here to the point where he's not the player he once was? Does that really help us? And what could we get for him? And so I'm not saying Myles Garrett should just show up. And I don't think Myles Garrett is wired to show up and not be all in all the time. He's chasing the all-time sack record. But I just think the fact that Lawrence was able to get out in 2 weeks could cause Myles Garrett, if he comes to a conclusion that I'm never going to pursue a championship here, that he tries again. And the foundation is in place in one of these upcoming off seasons for it to happen if he chooses to try to do it.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk. The Browns quarterback situation is what it is right now. I can't imagine it changing drastically. With that thought in mind, what do you think they've told Todd Monken about what they're expecting out of this year? Because we've kicked that around a little bit, Mike, because if they're looking to the 2027 draft and they're thinking, let's get into the draft as high as we can, that doesn't bode well, you know, for wins and losses, but does it bode well for Todd Monken long-term in his career path when he's finally getting a chance to be an NFL head coach? What do you think they've told him?
Well, there really is no long-term for coaches. When you have anywhere from 25 to 33% turnover every year, and there are plenty of coaches who were fired after 1 year. I remember when they fired Rob Chudzinski after 1 year, and everybody's like, oh, you fired a coach after 1 year. Went back and did a deep dive. A lot of guys only get 1 year. You can have 1 year that goes sufficiently badly that you're not back for a second year. And Kevin Stefanski made it for 6 years. It's amazing in hindsight that he lasted as long as he did. Now it helped to go to the playoffs twice. I don't know what he's been told about his expectations. I don't know that they know what the expectations are. You know, there's two different aspects to any NFL team. There's the aspect that we all focus on, which is how competitive is the team. Then there's the other aspect, how profitable is the team? This is one of the rare businesses where you can stink and still make a ton of money. So, you know, that's the dirty little secret that never gets discussed because they don't want the fans to figure it out. Like, I don't know how troubled every team that is not competitive all the time really is about not being competitive all the time. Because as long as the stadium's full and as long as you're getting your cut of the TV money and as long as all the other revenue streams are where they are, you're still going to make money. You're still going to be a viable business. It's a weird industry where you can be very, very profitable but be perceived as a failing organization because you don't compete on the field. So these are all factors that go into how the Browns look at this. Now, are they at the point where they're sick and tired after more than a decade of ownership by the Haslams of being one of the less than?
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Teams, yes. But how quickly do you really get there, especially when you're still dealing with the one thing that they don't want to talk about? The aftermath of the single worst transaction in NFL history, and they're still in that contract, and they still have a ton of cap charge they're going to have to take after that contract expires from the Deshaun Watson deal, where they've kicked the can as much as they can and put salary cap money into future voidable years that once he's gone, if he's gone after this season, and I'd be surprised if he isn't, they're still going to be paying for it in the form of money they've already paid out to him.
Mike Florio joining us. All right, two wide receivers for you, Mike, that I wanted to check in on. One of them, where are we with the A.J. Brown rumors? Do you see him getting traded before the draft?
My guess, and, you know, is it speculation? Yes. Is it informed by the circumstances and the patterns that I've seen over the last 25 years and interpreting the things people say and what they really mean? Yes. I think the Patriots and the Eagles already have a deal. It's going to be affected after June 1 if he passes a physical. But I think they already know what the Patriots are going to give, what the Eagles are going to get, and that A.J. Brown is going to be a member of the Patriots come June 2. And there's no reason to announce it now. Think about going into the draft. If the other 30 teams don't know about that deal, they're going to be looking at the Patriots and the Eagles selections differently as they move closer to being on the clock, because we don't know the Eagles won't have A.J. Brown, and we don't know that the Patriots will have A.J. Brown. So it helps your broader strategic interest for the league at large to not be aware that you've reached a wink-nod secret deal, which is perfectly acceptable. There's no rule that's being violated. They have an understanding. They trust each other to follow through on it. And then when we get to June 2nd, they'll announce that A.J. Brown has been traded to the Patriots pending a physical. They'll do the physical. I mean, if he passes, the deal goes through. So my guess is they already have a deal in place, and they're never going to admit it until June 2nd rolls around when they announce it.
Mike, same question with Brandon Ayuk.
I just think that the 49ers, because there are no remaining guarantees on the Brandon Ayuk contract due to his actions that caused those guarantees to be voided, and he didn't even file a grievance to fight it, the 49ers don't owe him a penny until week one. Because he's a vested veteran, and that's any player that's got four or more years of service in the NFL, if he's on the week one active roster, his salary for the year becomes essentially guaranteed under the CBA. It gets complicated, but your money's essentially guaranteed. So they have until week one to do something. And so what if there's a team that's hoping to get a certain receiver during the draft and they don't get it? But if there's a team that when the dust settles on the draft, they say, oh man, we really have a need here. Hey, here's a guy who's available. We can work out a new contract. We can do this trade. And from the 49ers perspective, anything they get is more than they have. And look, are they sticking it to Brandon Ayuk by holding on to his rights? Yes. Do they feel perfectly justified in doing so, given the way he conducted himself after they gave him a long-term contract? Absolutely. So this is just one of those situations where you have a team that is using the rules to its full advantage, and it's kind of hard for Brandon Ayuk to stand up and say, hey, you're doing me wrong. Because they can say, wait a minute, you made this mess. We're just trying to get something in return for all the money we paid you and got very little in return for.
How are the book sales, Michael?
You know, I haven't checked lately. I've been too damn busy. I focus on making the new stuff. I got a log jam of some stuff I'm working on, and I'm meeting with my agent here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to try to figure out what's going to come next. But I'll tell you what I'm doing. 25 years ago, I wrote a very crappy football and time travel novel. Now, when I was pitching some ideas for potential adaptation to some of the books I've written into a film, I just kind of mentioned in passing this 25-year-old book, and the executive I was talking to kind of sat forward and was like, that's kind of interesting. So I turned it into a script. So for the first time, as far as I know, I've never heard of this happening before. I've got a book that was adapted into a script, and I'm now writing a book based on the script based on the book. So I'm rewriting Quarterback of the Future. The hardcore old school PFT fans will be immediately aware of that title. And I'm currently in the process of, from scratch, not even looking back at the original, because it sucks, first of all. But the concept is valid and viable, and there's a good story lurking in there. So I'm rewriting the whole story start to finish. So that may be the next one. And the 25th anniversary of PFT is coming up November 1. I'd kind of like to land the plane and make that available right around November 1 of 2026, which will be the exact 25-year date from the moment we first turned the lights on.
That's awesome.
That's very cool.
Awesome. Have fun covering the draft. We will look forward to everything that you have to say about it, and we always appreciate your time. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Great talking to you guys.
Mike Florio joining us on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. Mike said trade down is almost always the right move. Well, we might have the right guy in place in Andrew Berry then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Sam Amico is going to join us. HoopsWire.com. And by the way, a Mike Florio disciple.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. Sam lived in West Virginia for a while and talked to Florio back in the day.
I'll be darned.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Just man,
so
what a
you
small
know.
World.
How about that?
What a small world. Hey, if you missed Mike Florio in our show, you can use the rewind function on the Odyssey app. It's powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in fire, water, and storm disaster restoration.
Florio said...
Florio was excellent. You should go back and listen.
Well, he was always good. So was Mary Kay Cabot at 11 o'clock. Browns are on the practice field coming up in about 18 minutes, and then afterwards they will be speaking. We expect to hear from Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel and Todd Monken, and we expect to hear from them when we're in the car driving home. So you can listen to Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. They'll have all those for you.
Absolutely.
That'll be good. Florio said, almost always, the prudent move is to trade down. There's only one little issue I have with trading down in this year's draft. And it goes back to what Sal Palantonio told us when he was with us last week. He did their big mismatch show on yes. NFL Films, the matchup nightmare guys, and he had five of them. And one of them will be available when the Browns pick at six.
Exactly.
Because Fernando Mendoza was not one of them. So he has guys that he thought, Greg Cosell, along with Sal.
Darius Butler as well.
That these are the five guys who are going to be just nightmares out of this draft. And the Browns could get one of them. You know, is it Sonny Styles? Is it Arvell Reese? You know, it wasn't Carnell Tate. It wasn't a lineman. It was mainly the defensive guys who they think are just going to be phenomenal. And I just wonder, okay, should they trade out of that opportunity? Regardless, if they do, I don't think there are that many opportunities for the Browns to trade down. And I say that for this reason.
Takes two to tango.
Yeah, Browns are sitting at six. Kansas City, I think, is a possibility at nine.
Interesting.
I think Kansas City could make a move. Kansas City, like the Browns, have extra first-round picks.
Right, because I got that Rams one now from the McDuffie trade.
I believe that's correct, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah, they got the...
It's the 29th pick.
Yep.
So, in theory, the Browns could trade, and I've seen this in a mock draft. Actually, Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated wrote this. He could see the Chiefs trading up to six and the Browns throwing in their second-round pick and the Browns then getting the ninth pick and ending up with the 29th pick in the first round. So the Browns would have three first-round picks. They would be 9, 24, and 29. See, guys at the end of the first round, you can get guys there. I just keep thinking this team needs star talent players.
What? And I think,
and I the further you trade down, the less your likelihood is of finding those guys.
The problem too is you still, and look, I'll take the hate for it. I don't care. You need to find your quarterback, and I think some of it is the fact that these guys that
well, you're Browns, not going to find him in this draft. Well, are you? Unless you take Ty Simpson.
But you need to, it takes two to tango.
So you get really lucky later.
You need someone to believe that Ty Simpson could be that guy and want to hop over everybody to come get him. So that's that bottom of the first round thing where somebody is going to want to take a shot on Ty Simpson but want the fifth year option. That's the part of it where maybe you could bait someone into getting you a first round pick into next year's draft where the quarterbacks are supposed to be much better and more of. So
that's what they say.
Yes. And we all know how that goes, you know, redshirt freshmen, all that, or redshirt years, all that kind of stuff in college football. You never know how this could all turn out. But that's what it's sounding like right now. And it takes two to tango in that one. So I holding three first round picks in this draft, while yes, you would like to be able to get some of the hopefully top 32 players in this draft, to be able to get three of the top 32, it also puts me in a spot where it's like, okay, what does that get me? Does that solve my woes? Does it fix anything? Like, am I off base thinking that three first-round picks is kind
of
like,
Let me bounce this off of you, though. I mentioned Connor Orr's mock draft at Sports Illustrated. Connor had time on his hands. He went off the deep end. And he had numerous trades. He had Dallas trading up to three with Arizona and taking Arvell Reese from Glenville and Ohio State, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Rams trading up to four at Tennessee with Tennessee and taking Jeremiah Love, which I don't quite get. Because,
I'd watch that.
Well, they have Kieran Williams and they have Blake Corum. And now do they think that those two guys should be replaced by Jeremiah Love?
Yes.
Who knows? Well, maybe. But Williams has been really good for them. Really good.
He gets banged up, though.
I know, but he's been really good for them. He had Kansas City trading up with the Browns and taking Francis Moenoa, the tackle from Miami. And you know, basically a right tackle, again, is what the thought is there. And he had then he had the Commanders taking Carnell Tate at 7. So if the Browns wanted Carnell Tate, okay, well, you lost him because you traded with Kansas City, according to Connor Orr. But he then had the Browns taking Spencer Fano, the guard from Utah. And he's listed as a tackle everywhere else, but Connor Orr has him listed as a guard. And I think, you want to draft a guard in the top 10? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I get that. Maybe. If he's phenomenal.
I was just going to say, all right, I'm going to Phelps the Phelps. You ready?
Yeah, I know.
If I could hand you Joel Bitonio as a first-round pick, would you take him?
Yes.
There's your answer.
But I'd rather take Justin Jefferson before I took Joel Bitonio.
Correct.
And so, you know, if they think there's a wide receiver there, I'd rather have a wide receiver as opposed to an interior offensive lineman.
But if I could have 10 years of high-end guard play in the modern NFL where defensive tackles are becoming more and more pass-rush-based, I think that's something we're signing up for. It's part of my Spencer Fano thing of why I'm like, just take Fano. Because I don't care if it turns out he can't play tackle or he's not heavy enough to play tackle and they bump him into guard. Great. If he's there for 12 years and is an upper echelon guard, my offensive line is in a better place.
I get that. Connor Orr, then, just in case you're wondering, where are all these wide receivers going to fall? Has Tennessee taking Mekhi Lemon at 13? He had the Jets taking Jordan Tyson at 16. Monroe Freeling, by the way, the tackle, he had at Detroit at 17, which is another interesting thing. Caleb Lomu, the tackle from Utah, going to Arizona at 20 with a pick that they got from Dallas from that trade. And Blake Miller, the kid from Strongsville and Clemson, going 22 to the Chargers. You keep going down, you had Casey Concepcion going at 23 to Miami. And I'm saying all this because we don't hear the Browns yet. He had the Browns trading out of 24. And the Raiders taking Omar Cooper Jr., wide receiver from Indiana. But he projected this trade. So he has the Browns trading out of both of their first-round picks. He had the Browns taking at number 30, the Browns get the 36th pick, so early in the second round, a 2027 second-rounder and a 2027 fourth-round.
There's your ammo.
In other words, loading up on ammo to move up next year.
There's your war chest, yep.
Yeah, that was what he had in mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. He finally had the Browns at 29 taking Denzel Boston, the wide receiver from Washington.
I wouldn't hate that.
No, I wouldn't either.
Big body wide receiver? I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't either. It's just the thought of how far do you want to trade down? And I think that's a big question and a really good question. We're going to pose it again in a second because I think there's one guy who's the key to this whole draft, and I'll tell you who that is next on Baskin and Phelps. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Sam Amico, HoopsWire.com, is going to join us. Cavaliers up 2-0 on the Toronto Raptors, so Sammy's thoughts on that and a couple of upsets, actually, last night at the NBA. Sam will join us at 1 o'clock. I am Jeff Phelps. This would be Dan Menigan.
And take the fan with you wherever you go. Listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps, especially as the weather gets nicer, you're getting the yard work done, all that kind of good stuff. We're a good companion for such things.
Weather nicer. That happens, huh?
Occasionally.
That'll be great.
Only for short periods, though, before the next season shows up.
Let me know when that hits, would you?
Up to my darnest.
I'm looking forward to that, and that'll be great fun. The NFL draft is always a fascinating thing. Usually, quarterbacks are the guys that make the draft click. Teams either trading up for a quarterback, not taking a guy, somebody slides, you get all excited, whatever. I think the key to this entire top of the draft, and I say top as in right where the Browns are, the key to the whole thing to me is Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame. And I say that because I've seen him listed numerous spots as a target for trade-ups. I've seen trade-ups to number 3 to take him. Somebody even thought Arizona would take him at 3. I don't personally think he gets past Tennessee at 4. I've seen Tennessee drafting him in numerous mock drafts. In fact, that's been the most likely landing spot. I've seen the Giants taking him at 5 in numerous mock drafts, which to me, if the guy is as dynamic as he looks on tape and as everybody thinks he's going to be, okay, I get it. You have Cam Scataboo. He was really good last year till he got hurt, and he's back and supposedly healthy and good to go. To me, that's a major duplication there. But hey, you can. Who says you can't use two running backs? And if one of them is as good as Jeremiah Love, who can line up outside as well and is great out of the backfield, Scataboo could be your hammer, and Jeremiah Love could be your, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs. And then the Browns are at 6. I haven't seen anybody in a mock, Dan, having the Browns taking Jeremiah Love at 6. But by golly, the Commanders at 7, yes. So to me, the point is basically this. Jeremiah Love could set things up for the Browns if somebody wants to trade up and get him, if he's still on the board at 4 or 5. Then somebody's going to trade ahead of the Browns. And maybe that kicks somebody down to the Browns that they weren't expecting. I don't know. Or if he's on the board at 6 and somebody wants him, there's your trade partner.
Maybe I don't have as high of expectations as some do. And maybe that could be a me problem with a lot of this stuff.
On Jeremiah Love or on what?
Just where the Browns are in general. Because to me, you take a running back that high as a luxury.
Yeah, see, I don't see the Browns taking him, do you?
No.
I'd be flabbergasted.
It would be awesome.
Honest.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. I would love to watch it and see what happens.
We love star talent player.
Exactly. We screamed it last year. Get me blue chippers. I need blue chippers on this roster, and especially on the offensive end. And he is a blue chipper. I just worry about the Ashton Jeanty of it all. And by that, I mean...
Great running Raiders, back, bad team. You don't get your money's worth.
Bad offensive line.
Yeah.
Line that is not in the position that can open up holes for your running back to be as dynamic as he needs to be. And the fact that, I mean, yes, there are exceptions to every rule. Like Saquon Barkley was really, really good with the Giants, even though their offensive line wasn't great. Same thing with Barry Sanders. The problem is we're talking about arguably the best running back in football right now and a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, no questions asked. And I don't know if Jeremiah Love is at the same level as Barry Sanders, because no one should be compared to Barry Sanders.
No, but a lot of people will tell you he is.
But no one should be compared to Barry Sanders.
I agree. I mean, or Jim Brown.
Exactly. Jim Brown or...
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
At least not until you show it and add yourself to that group.
Exactly. And so that's my biggest fear and the tear at my head, which is I need blue chippers, and especially on offense. And that guy's a blue chipper, and he's a difference maker. But is my offensive line in a position where I can best use a blue chip prospect like that? I don't know, and I lean toward not yet.
The Browns signed three guys and traded for another. They think they've rebuilt their offensive line. We're going to get into this tomorrow heavily on the offensive
line. Right, because, I mean, Andrew Berry brought up Chicago on numerous occasions and how the Bears were able to rebuild that whole line.
Who'd they
bring
up?
Chicago.
Nice.
And how the Bears were able to rebuild their line in an offseason. Now, granted, they also traded for Joe Tooney on top of that, and you haven't made that trade yet.
Titus Howard.
They also traded for Joe Tooney, and you haven't made that trade yet.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, my friend.
One of those guys is one of the best guards in
football. I'm just saying.
Another of those guys
was a former first-round pick.
Made an entire fan base go, who?
Former first-round pick.
Typey, 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 who?
Very, very competent lineman.
Typey, 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 him?
Do you think the... Could Love mess things up or help the Browns more? I think his status potentially could help the Browns. I'll be honest. I don't see Tennessee not taking him. The only way Tennessee doesn't take him is if Robert Saleh pounds the table and says, I've already told you I like my running backs well enough.
Right.
And he does what the Browns could do. Browns, if Jeremiah Love was there, it's the same type of deal. Hey, I like my running backs, Cleveland. I like Dylan Sampson. I like Quinshon Judkins. You're good to go. So we don't need that running back. That's a luxury, as you said. And we're going to draft the defensive guy. And if you're the Titans, you're going to have a chance to draft one of the big time. You could draft David Bailey out of Tech, the pass rusher.
And you got a defensive-minded head coach.
And you have a defensive-minded head coach.
Which, who knows how much pull that guy is going to have in the room in the organization.
Well, you would think
but
some.
It is a defensive-minded head coach. The question I have, I'll tell you, man, the closer we get, I have always been fascinated by Jordan Tyson. I just every time I watch that guy, I just am blown away by how he's able to move, how fast he is, and everything else. And especially now after that pro day, I don't know if maybe that was basically, here's your giant helping of Kool-Aid, enjoy Mr. Madigan. But by God, I think that might be my pick at six.
At six. Ahead of Carnell Tate.
I just think he's more explosive. I just think his ceiling is higher and his floor probably is lower than Carnell Tate. But I need explosiveness, and that dude is explosive. You put the ball in his hands and your jaw drops. Like, he just is so talented and so tantalizing, and I know the injuries are there. I get that. But I just see that guy and I'm like, damn, that guy can help me.
Okay.
That guy makes me better now.
All right. Let me give you another thought.
Please.
If Andy were here today, he would be all excited. Ready? I'm going back to Connor Orr's mock draft from Sports Illustrated. And remember I said, Browns made that trade, got out of six with Kansas City, dropped back to nine, and then Washington swooped in and took Carnell Tate in Connor Orr's mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Orr wrote that he really liked Mekhi Lemon here for Washington, and then he came across a Will Howard quote on Carnell Tate. And, of course, they were teammates at Ohio State. And Will Howard said this, Carnell's kind of a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. He plays bigger than he is. He's strong as hell, and he's really sneaky fast. The thing I think that's so overlooked about his game is how well he blocks. He's a hell of a blocking receiver. He is super unselfish. And that is why Connor Orr had him going seventh to Washington. He summed it up by saying, that sounds like a receiver who can help Jaden Daniels and fast. Replace the Jaden Daniels with whoever the heck the Browns play at quarterback, and fast. Look at it this way. The Browns are going to, if the Browns so choose, they're going to be able to pick one of the top two wide receivers on their board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's going to take a wide receiver ahead of the Browns. So they can get the top wide receiver on their board at six if they wish, if they want to hang on to it. If they want to trade down like with Kansas City to nine, you'll get one of the top two wide receivers if you want to go that way. If you want to trade down with Dallas, you'll probably get one of your top three. That would be drafting 12th.
Mekhi Lemon, I just wonder about his size. I'm kind of with you on this. I need a big ball winner. You need to be a decent size. Why this team needs a guy with some size to it who can go up and really make some plays.
A guy who can out-muscle defensive backs and can just be a little bit of a beast on the edge.
Right, and I'm not saying...
I think that too.
And I'm not saying Tyson is totally that guy, but
he's 6'2".
He's 6'2". And he can get up and do what needs to get done to go win a ball. Like, that's...
Well, Carnell Tate can do the same thing. They're both great options.
They're both very good. Yeah. I wonder, the floor is lower on Tyson. The injury history is legit.
It's scary.
It is scary.
See, if you're the Browns, you can't miss this pick.
Right. But, God, you watch that kid at Arizona State, and you can't help but, like, immediately just be infatuated. I mean, you're going to add somebody. Dane Brugler compared him, saying he reminds me of Stephon Diggs. Would you not want to put peak Stephon Diggs on this roster?
As soon as you said Stephon Diggs, I thought, yeah, and they got him in the fifth round. Now,
Vikings Stephon Diggs on this roster?
He was terrific.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I am hard-pressed not to think that. So, I get it.
That's
what we do know is they have options. If they go wide receiver there, I just keep looking at the offensive linemen who are available. I keep looking at what the Browns did on the offensive line in free agency and with a trade. And I keep looking at the guys who are going to be there later in the first round. And I keep thinking, since there's no screaming left tackle stud prospect, this is a Joe Thomas.
Right.
I'm willing to wait until later in the first round and pick up my offensive lineman there.
Yeah, there's no Joe Alt or anybody like that sitting there where you're just going to look at it and go, all right, that guy's going to stand on the left side of that line for the next 10 years and we don't have to worry about it.
And the only guys they say are going to stand on the left side of the line are who? Caleb Lomu is one of them. Monroe Freeling is another. Everybody else seems right tackle with flexibility. You know, how'd that work with Jed Wills? I know it's one guy and one guy only. I know. But how often does that work?
Depends on how much you trust your offensive line coach and the philosophy and your ability to develop guys, because I could tell you it works in Green Bay pretty darn well.
Okay. But the entire Aaron Rodgers era, they were always looking for more offensive linemen because they kept getting injured.
Yeah, because they just threw bodies at the problem.
Yeah. Bodies don't get it done, but...
I don't know. That David Bakhtiari guy was pretty darn good.
Well, he was.
I don't know.
Elton Jenkins did a nice job for him.
I don't know. That TJ Lang was pretty darn good.
No, I get it, but that's a lot of assets you put into it. Got to coach him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Amico covers the basketball world for HoopsWire.com. Why? Because it's his website. He needs something to do. He's going to mix in talking with us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, Every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.